Can you hear me? Oh, yes, good. Okay. Welcome, everyone. Happy New Year, kids. I'll look around if I see some kids. It's good to see you. North Coast Kids is going back next week. Today is a family service. There's also like some buckets with things in for toddlers, if you guys struggle to focus on that side. Kids, I got this booklet. I totally forgot about this. There's a booklet at the back. Adults, you don't get it. It's for the kids. And we'll be using it through the sermon. So if you need a pen, crayon, whatever it is, grab it. And we'll use that booklet. But let's read John 4 and then pray and get into it. So we're reading from the NIV because with the kids, we always use NIV. So I thought we'll use that today if you need to flick to that. John chapter 4, verse 1. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who was baptizing, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had got into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews and Samaritans do not associate. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Well, let's pray. Let's ask for God's help with this, with his word, and then we'll dig into it. Our Heavenly Father, we ask for your help as we open your word for clarity and for understanding. And help us now as we open your words together that we would see that there's a satisfaction that Jesus offers and that we would take hold of it. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever had that feeling that you could be more satisfied. Like if only you had, I don't know, more money or a longer holiday or more gadgets or kids, more toys. I've had that feeling heaps. I feel like every time I drive in my little dingy car and I see a Tesla zoom past me, I get that feeling. I could do with that. I got that feeling just a few days after Christmas. This is my Christmas present. I'll quickly give you a little peek for the kids. This little green machine. You ready? Look at that. This is called a melodica. I'll give you the full show. You blow on it, and a, can you hear that? I'll give you a little piece. Listen to this. That's how I feel a little bit on the inside sometimes. So I got this present, and I've been playing with it every week. Now, kids, if you turn to page 2 of your booklet, you'll see they'll ask you, what's the best Christmas present that you could ask for? I want you to draw a picture there, if you can, or if you want, the best Christmas present you could ever get. I play this almost every day this week, and it does get a bit annoying, I think. Rochelle asked me one time, she said, can you just stop? Or play a little bit quieter, so I decided to stop. So as I was playing this, a few days after playing with it, I got to this point where I asked myself this question. What if our Christmas budget was more than $50? What would I ask for? If our Christmas budget was more than $50, I was dreaming, what would I have asked for? Now, that might seem like an innocent question, but that exposes that I wanted something more. See, humans, we want to be satisfied. And that's a good thing. We're made to be satisfied, but it's hard to be satisfied. It's hard for our satisfaction to last. It fades. I think of it like a cup. Imagine a cup with holes in it. You can fill it to the brim, but it'll just slowly leak out. That's oftentimes the satisfaction that we have. Can you think of a time that you've experienced this? You desperately want something, a new car, a longer holiday, a new job, whatever it is, thinking that ingredient will be what you need for life. And then when you get it, it's not exactly right. Now, kids, you probably know this feeling more than anyone. I don't know how long ago this was, but there was a point where every kid had a fidget spinner. I don't know if you remember that. Kids were telling their parents, Mom, I need a fidget spinner. Mom, I want a fidget spinner. And there was two types of kids who came to North Coast Kids. Those who had fidget spinners and those who wanted fidget spinners. And now no one brings fidget spinners to church anymore. See, it didn't last. Even the new poppers, I don't know what they're called, that they use now, it won't last. And the reason we have this thirst for satisfaction is because the Bible says God has put eternity into our hearts. We want eternal life. That's not just like a long, long, long life, because just living forever is not good enough. When the Bible uses the word eternal life, it's also talking about quality of life, the life that's full, the life that's satisfying, the life that is meaningful. And this morning in John 4, Jesus says, satisfy your thirst in me. Let's see if this works. It does work. This is our main point. Kids, if you turn to page 3 in your booklet, it says satisfy your thirst, dot, 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 or stripe, 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 whatever it is. Write in the word Jesus or draw a big cross. That's our big point for today. And we're going to break that down into three in the story, three parts. Who can come and satisfy their thirst in Jesus? Why aren't we already satisfied? Why doesn't this little green thing make me happy? And thirdly, how do we satisfy ourselves in Jesus? Okay, let's dig into the first point. Who can come and be satisfied in Jesus? Is it for religious people? Is it just for church people? Is it for good people? Well, we'll dig into the story. Verse 1 to 6 sets up the story. Jesus leaves Judea to Galilee and he goes through Samaria. And there he meets a woman. So we'll pick up the story of verse 7. Kids, I've put it on the screen here for us. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Well, actually, I need to read the next verse. Is that going to work? Yeah, it is. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus asked a pretty, a good question when you're thirsty. "Can I have a drink?" But the Samaritan woman says to him, "Jesus, don't you know the rules? Don't you know that Jews and Samaritans, we don't mix? We fight. This is a Samaritan bucket for Samaritan people. Now, kids, on page 4 and 5 of your books, there's one sheet of things that don't mix and one sheet of things that do mix. You want to draw a line to one. I've given you the first one. The first one on the sheet is oil and water. Like oil and water don't mix, Jews and Samaritans don't mix. And if you read the Bible or know your history, it's no secret that Jews and Samaritans were hostile towards each other. See, the Jewish people believed that the Samaritans were once part of God's people, but now they're not part of God's people because they are racially, they are religiously, and they are morally impure, not good enough. See, we say the good Sammies, they would say the bad Sammies. Didn't think that was a good one, actually. One rabbi said this about the Samaritans. One rabbi around Jesus' time said this about Samaritans. He that eats the bread of a Samaritan is like one who eats the flesh of a pig. So to them, just eating a slice of bread, having a sip of water from a Samaritan is breaking God's law. Makes you filthy, actually, and unclean in God's eyes. And yet here, the God of the universe, it's not racist, it's not rude, it's not judgmental, says, will you give me a drink? But the Samaritan woman hesitates. She says, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? But look at what Jesus does. He doesn't hesitate. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Right in front of the Samaritan woman is the gift of God. Last year when we were in our Life in His Name series, we saw John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. Not to judge, not to condemn, but to offer salvation. See, other Jewish people wouldn't speak to this lady. They'd probably just ignore her like we sometimes ignore people at the shops. But at verse 10, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus didn't say, I might consider giving you something. I'll have to see how you act first. No, if you ask, I will give. This is a huge moment in the Bible. Satisfy your thirst in Jesus. This offer is for anyone, even the people you least think deserve it, because Jesus offers it to the Samaritans. But the Samaritan woman, it goes over her head a little bit. She doesn't get it. Verse 11, look at this. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Firstly, she thinks Jesus is just talking about normal water, H2O. And she's skeptical. Jesus, how can you give me water? You don't have a bucket. Or do you think that you're better than others? You think you're better than Jacob, who gave us this well? And instead of being hostile or offended, Jesus is patient and he explains to her. The next verse, verse 13. This clicker, man. Here we go. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus says water won't fill you permanently. We know that. Tomorrow the lady will have to come back with her bucket because she'll be thirsty again. But what Jesus gives us satisfies us permanently. Look at verse 14 again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is putting a spring inside of us. Like it's like he's putting a river or a tap open and it's just gushing with water. But Jesus is not talking about H2O. He's talking about eternal life. He's using water as a picture for eternal life. It wells up to eternal life. And Jesus says, if you want a life where you stop getting thirsty, then come to me. I give living water. That's our big point. Satisfy your thirst in Jesus. And nothing can take this away from us, not even death, because it's eternal life. Here's the good news for us, or the refreshing news. This invitation is for anyone. Kids, on page 5 at the bottom there, it says, something come to Jesus. Is that right? Check it out. The word that fits in there is anyone can come to Jesus. Even Samaritans who were outsiders, even Samaritans who fell short of God's standards. If you've ever felt like a Samaritan, you've felt that you're not good enough for God, that you're not welcome, that you're not perfect. Look at what Jesus says in verse 10 again. This is a huge verse. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. See, in God's kindness, in his love, all he says to us, are you willing to ask? Because I'll give. That's the first point. Anyone can come. Second point, why? Why aren't we satisfied already? Why did I get bored of the melodica after a few days? Maybe it's because it's a melodica, but anyway. Let's keep reading the story. Verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had 5 husbands and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. It seems really odd in the conversation when the lady says, yeah, I want some of the water. And Jesus says, go get your husband. But Jesus actually is being very deliberate. He wants her to see that she's been trying to satisfy her thirst with husbands, with men. And why isn't she satisfied? Because instead of drinking the living water, she's satisfying herself with something else. Now, I find this Old Testament passage from Jeremiah 2 super helpful. Jeremiah 2, verse 13, it feels like it sits behind what Jesus says here. It says, my people, this is God speaking, my people have committed 2 sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. See, the living water is God himself that Jesus offers. A satisfying relationship, not with men, but with God. That's because we were made for God. We were hardwired for God to know him and to love him. Kids, if you turn to page 6, I want you to draw a person, however you draw a person, yourself or someone in your family, and I want you to draw a hole in their chest or a circle in their chest. This is my drawing. It looks bad, but it's because I drew it with the mouse. It's hard on the computer, okay? I'm a great drawer. I try to save it by adding a beanie. But this is sort of roughly what I want you to do. I want you to draw a person with a hole in the chest. Okay, off you go. Back to Jeremiah. I don't want you to see that the whole time. We have a hole inside of us that only God can fill. Jeremiah 2. Oh, wait, that's not it. We have committed 2 sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that don't hold water. See, people don't want to know God. They don't want to love God. They don't want to be satisfied in God. But see what God says? Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. The things that we've gone to, the things we've made ourselves, they can't carry and hold the satisfaction and the desire that God can hold. Why aren't we satisfied? Simply put, because replacing God doesn't work. Turning from God to anything else won't ultimately satisfy. I mean, have you ever been thirsty and instead of drink the water, which you know you should, you go for the Coke and you crack that can, and you drink that refreshing sip. And then later you have to take another sip. And more Coke makes you more thirsty. I mean, all the doctors and researchers says Coke is not a good substitute for water. It causes more problems than it solves. That's because you can't replace a 5-star drink with a 0.5-star drink. It's the same with God. And look at what Jesus says to the lady in verse 18. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Jesus says, don't you see that you're trying to replace God? Don't you see that your man-made, husband-made well is broken? I mean, if you have to go to husband after husband after husband, I don't know how many times I have to say that, and still not happy. Now, husbands are not a bad thing, right? Hope not. But see, when you take a good thing, husbands, family, money, toys, and you make them your God thing, it can't hold the weight. It can't hold the weight. You get thirsty again. See, the Bible says God gives us good things, and they're meant to be enjoyed, but they can't take his place. I have a mate who, he's in his 20s anyway. I have a mate who until recently looked like he had it all. He looked truly satisfied. He had all the toys, all the gadgets. He had money to throw around. He had relationships. Lucky guy, he even got a new ute recently. And he seemed happy. But a broken well can't hold water. He still felt empty, and he admitted that life did not feel like it's worth living anymore. Now, most of us aren't that honest with ourselves. We're probably more like the Samaritan woman. Maybe the solution is another husband, or another gadget, or another holiday, or another blank, whatever you want to put in there. The God hole in our souls are meant for God, the living water, Jesus says. Satisfy your thirst in Jesus. So kids, in that circle, in the person that you drew, you can either put the word God or you can draw a cross there for God. That brings us to our third point. How? How can we be satisfied in Jesus? How do you drink this living water? Well, the answer is worship. Worship and drinking the living water, they're two sides of the same coin. Let's keep reading the story. This is verse 19. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Now, in Jesus' day, similar to our day, it was all about location, location, location. Like we believe where you buy your house is important, they believed where you worship was important. Now, kids, last page, there's a circle. I want you to draw planet Earth in that circle. And you can draw some of your favorite places in there, like the beach or the shops or Europe, whatever. That the Samaritan woman says to Jesus, Jesus, we have a problem. You say here, we say here. What place? Where must I go to get God? And what Jesus says next is actually revolutionary. This is what it says in verse 22. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. See, notice Jesus says, a time is coming when location doesn't matter. It's not about here or there. And he's happy to tell the Samaritans that you guys have had it wrong. You've had it wrong. The Jews have had it right. But, verse 23, look at that, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. With Jesus' coming, something changes where you can worship anywhere on planet Earth, but you must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus came to bring this change because the old way of locations didn't actually work. Jesus nails the problem when he speaks to the Jewish leaders who worked at the temple. You know what? He said this to them. He said to them, "You hypocrites, you worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." That means someone can come to church and say, I follow Jesus, sing, clap hands, whatever it is, and they could not be worshiping God because their heart is far from him. See, worship is not about a place here or there. It's about the heart. And when Jesus says a time is coming, he's referring to his death and resurrection, which will change worship forever. On the cross, Jesus died in the place of those who did not worship God from the heart. He died for those who tried to replace God with other things. And Jesus replaced us on the cross. And you know what the Bible says? He felt thirst. It says, knowing that everything had been finished, this is as Jesus is dying on the cross, knowing that everything had been finished so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." He went through the thirst of not having God so that we can have God, so that we can be satisfied. Last year in John 3, we saw that Jesus, when people come to Jesus, they get the Spirit. And God's Spirit makes us alive from the inside, satisfies us with his love, and it makes us love God and live for him. We worship in the Spirit with God changing us. We worship in truth because we follow Jesus, who tells us the truth. That means you can worship anywhere, anytime. Look again at verse 24. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in the truth. God is not bound to a place. That's why we can worship him anywhere. But we must worship in spirit and truth. So kids, on that last page, I want you to draw people everywhere. I mean, if you can draw people worshiping, that would be even good. But people everywhere to show that we can worship God anywhere. We can enjoy God at work. We can enjoy God at the beach. We can worship God in church. And while brushing your teeth. A few days ago, someone drove past me on the freeway as I came in here, and on the back it had a sticker that said something like, "I'm happy when I'm next to a campfire." I mean, something like that. But that just showed that his happiness is tied to a place. See, if your happy place is the beach, which is a good thing, what happens when you leave the beach? If your happy place is Netflix, what happens when you turn off the TV? If you're satisfied in Jesus, you can be satisfied anywhere. In a queue, in lockdown, at the beach. These are the last two verses we'll work through. Verse 25, the woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "The one speaking to you, I am he." A time has come because Jesus has come. Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, "I give the living water, just ask." Jesus is also the one who gives truth. He will explain. He gives the truth. That's why the main point is satisfy your thirst in Jesus. It's for anyone. Anything other than God won't work. And we can worship God anywhere. So here's a challenge. If you're a New Year's resolution person, maybe put some of these on your list. In 2022, may this be the year that we are more satisfied in Jesus than ever before. But one of my goals is to enjoy God in prayer more this year. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to that 2 weeks on prayer. Or May 2022, I keep wanting to say 2021, it's hard, be the year where we stop running to replacement gods, because it doesn't work. If you want a book on that. There's a great book on the shelves at the back there called Counterfeit Gods. In 2022, see if you can be satisfied somewhere where you don't think you could be satisfied. Because you can worship God anywhere, even at work. Let's finish by asking God to do this for us, to satisfy us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you see us, you see that people are thirsty, and you offer us yourself in Jesus. Please satisfy us. Help us to stop turning from you. Help us that we would worship you in spirit and truth. Amen.